Well, good morning. And it's hard to believe it's already August, but here we are. And before the end of August, we will have finished 2 Corinthians. We'll be done with the Corinthians book, with 1 and 2 Corinthians. It only has taken us about 2 years. After we're done with 2 Corinthians, we're going to spend a few weeks looking at missions. And after that, I'm not quite sure where we're at or where we're going, but I'll be getting you that preaching schedule soon. But our missionary conference is going to be in October. That'll be the 16th through the 21st of October. And it's coming like a freight train. You're saying, October, Pastor, it's July. No, it's not. It's August. Before you know it, it's going to be September. And yeah, time is just moving quick. But yet, some things don't change so much. Sometimes we think that things change, but yet, you've all heard the more they change, the more they stay the same. We find that what's going on in Paul's letters to the Corinthians, what's happening in the Corinthian church, takes place today in our church, in the American church. Hopefully not too much of it's going on here, per se, but this stuff is going on. So let's look at what's happening here. As Paul continues, and now he's talking about some people who have come and brought some false teaching. Chapter 11, starting with verse 1. And says, I hope you'll put up with a little of my foolishness, but you're already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way, and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Acacia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground out from underneath those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You speak to us fresh and new every day. Lord, send Your Holy Spirit now to help us to wrap our minds and hearts and lives around Your Word. Lord, might we take it in and know the truth. And Lord, indeed, might that truth indeed set us free. Father, we pray right now that You would be present here in our midst. Father, I pray for Your anointing to be upon me, that as I speak, Your words would come forth and encourage Your people, that Your name would be lifted up and glorified, Your people encouraged and blessed. Lord, we give You the glory this day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this message Masquerade because there is a masquerade that goes on. See, not everybody always honestly represents themselves. If we really, really, really want to be honest, we're not honest with one another most of the time. We have a mask that we put on. Now, to a certain extent, and in a limited, very limited way, that's not evil in and of itself. Though it can be. It is when we use that mask for the purpose not of just keeping some things private, but of deception. And the one who uses that mask most effectively is indeed Satan. He is the deceiver. And his servants, too, are deceivers. And they masquerade as servants of righteousness. Satan himself likes to present himself as an angel of light. But he's not. He takes that which God has meant for good and twists it and perverts it just a little to get us off that track of following God. Now, Paul's letter here. Says, I hope you'll put up with a little of my foolishness. Now, when he's in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, we have the section where Paul talks about the foolishness of the message of the gospel. He said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And he speaks of that foolishness. So this is what he's bringing to mind. If you'll just bear with me for the foolishness. I brought you a message. I brought you a message of the gospel, which was foolishness to those who really don't know Christ. They ridiculed it. But then you saw the power. You heard it, and it changed your life. And then what happened is somebody who came in who dressed really snappy, who looked really good, who was a trained speaker. You know, they had particular types of oratory back then. You hold a position, say, and you would project from the diaphragm, and you would speak to the people so that they would hear and understand. And a person from the theater, and who's trained, knows how to speak like this, and I can do this all day, or at least I used to be able to when I did this for a living. When I did demonstration sales. They wouldn't allow certain places for me to have transportation. So I had to be my own amplifier. And I could speak up at times, can't I? There was a little squeak there.
The voice isn't going to last long if I do that, because I haven't done it for a while. But trained speakers, people who were trained to speak so that everybody could hear, and to speak in particular methodologies. Now, pastors, today our style is, we really like alliteration. If we can get something, if we got two A's, two ideas that start with an A, I go looking, I got a third idea that doesn't have an A, I got to find a similar word that starts with A. If I can give you, three things. Oh, that's it. We like threes and we like, alliterations. And that's kind of like today's style. Well, they had particular styles of speaking. And Paul wasn't trained in that. But he was indeed effective, because instead of being a trained speaker, he was an empowered, anointed speaker. So when Paul came and spoke, people go, wow, what was that? They didn't know what it was. It was the Holy Spirit. But then somebody else come in who they're more used to. They're used to the style. And they said, Paul's a great guy. He's just got it a little wrong. Oh, by the way, for the next 10 minutes, it'll be, $1.99 a minute. Just like one of those phone lines where you call to talk to somebody, $1.99 a minute, $6.99 a minute. Different ones cost different things. A lot of people call numbers not realizing that there's a fee on the end of it. Well, these guys were coming in and, oh yes, by the way. And they had their hand out. And Paul made it a point not to have his hand out. In fact, he had support when he went there. Why? Because he was there from the outside coming in. They needed to raise up a pastor from within, and that pastor needed to be supported by that church. Yes, absolutely. But Paul wasn't from there. He was the missionary. He said, no. I'm coming here to bring God's gospel to you. And you are not going to have any reason to say that I charged you for it. That which is free is free. It'll cost you everything to follow it and to live it. But the gospel itself, there it is. But these guys came. And they came with a different message, a different gospel. They came with a different spirit. Now, these people had received the Holy Spirit, and somebody's bringing a different spirit. Hello, if you have the Holy Spirit and somebody brings a different spirit, is it the Holy Spirit? No. But somebody would come and say, well, that's different. We have that in today's church, where we have quote-unquote pastors and people in the church who say, God can maybe come through different means other than just the church and Jesus. Maybe there's another way. And I tell those people that they're heretics. Because they are. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so they might present you as a pure virgin to Him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Right there. I promised you to one, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to Him. But Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning. You see, the enemy comes in and he gives us all these reasonable arguments.
But instead of trusting what God says and what God's provision and what God's going to do, we try to figure it out for ourselves. Or the enemy comes in and says, you know, that's really not what God meant when He said that. But it is. You see, right here, when we look at what Eve did, what did she do? She listened. When somebody said something contrary to God's word, she listened to it. And she said, well, you know, that might be true. There might be a grain of truth in that. The thing is, the deceiver is so very good at deceiving that there's a grain of truth in a lie. The best lies do have a grain of truth. And that's what these apostles were bringing. They were bringing something other than the gospel of Jesus. They take and they twisted it. They had issues with, you know, telling people that you had to get circumcised in order to get saved. You got to do this in order to get saved. You got to do that in order to get saved. When all you got to do to get saved is receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. See, the problem is, these people were coming in and preaching a gospel other, and the people didn't run them out on a rail. They let them in. And they said, well, that's interesting. They received it. And Paul's saying, don't be receiving this stuff. It's going to take you away from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Again, verse 4 says, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. That is a scary word for the church. We can't put up with something other than what's in God's Word. If the gospel is other, if I preach to you something which is not in here, people, you need to push me right out the door. If anybody else comes up here and starts speaking something that is not God's Word, we need to stand up in the middle of the service and say, you're done. We just can't stand by in politeness or out of intellectual curiosity and say, well, that might be so. Now, I'm not talking about the public venue of freedom of speech here in the U.S. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about here within the place we call God's house. Here in our lives, we just don't accept anything other than God's Word as the truth. We want to elevate human wisdom, human rationale, to above God's Word. And God says that He confounds the wisdom of the world. That's back to 1 Corinthians, back in Isaiah. Paul has done everything he could so that there would be no barriers to the gospel. He had supporters who were paying his way from the church in Macedonia. He was a tent maker. What they didn't provide in support, he earned on his own. Why? Because he was a missionary. He was going out and taking the gospel to the people there. And once he was there, saying, no, 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 you're not paying my way. Now you pay for your own pastor, yes. But I'm not going to be seen as selling God's word. And because I gave it to you free, am I any less important than somebody who charged? We have a saying which says, you know, you get what you pay for. And honestly, when we're dealing with people, that may be true in some situations or most situations. At least when we're dealing on a commercial basis. But the gospel isn't commercial. It's not a commercial product. It's not something that we're to package and sell. The gospel is God's gift of love to all mankind. And he gives it, he paid the price for us. And you get what you pay for. I didn't pay for the car I have, but I got it. It was a gift from God. I didn't get salvation because I paid for it, because Christ paid for it. It was a gift from God. I don't even have the life I have today because I paid for it. It was a gift from God. So obviously there are things out there that are worth more than what we pay for them. And they're the things that are really of most importance. But yet, when I do premarital counseling with couples, we, the church, do indeed charge them a fee. Why? Because if we found that if we don't charge somebody a fee, they just don't. Well, they take it for granted. It's not important. It must not be valuable if we didn't charge them something for it. They paid something. Now we keep the fee, I think, reasonable. It's really no more than what we spend to do it, so they're paying for their own. So the church isn't having to pay out of its pocket for their premarital counseling. The resources that we provide, training, etc., costs about that. So we have this mixture going on. What are we supposed to do? I don't know. I'm confused. How about you? Have I confused you entirely? Well, I'm going to say that when we're dealing with the gospel always has to be free. The gospel has to be free. And these people who come in are charging for it. Well, that's wrong. But they thought because somebody was charging for it, they must be presenting a better version of it. Just like if you go online and you download a program to fix your computer, a virus protection software or something, you can download the free version and it'll fix one thing. But if you just buy this little update over the licensed version, we will fix all your problems. I just saw one of those. The free version of the program located 897 problems on my computer to fix. It repaired one. But if I'm willing to pay the fee, it'll fix the rest of them. Maybe. But that's version. And Paul wasn't going to be pulled into that trap of getting into that commercialism of the gospel. Now it has to be paid for. Christ paid for it. And when we send out missionaries, we pay so that others can receive. With God's money, I might add. He just put it in our hands for a little while. But we need to fight against these who are coming and doing this, because Paul says here, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. When somebody is selling, God's blessing, they're masquerading as apostles of Christ. That's what was going on in Corinth. And it goes on today. We see it on TV all the time. We've got all sorts of places all over where people go and they're basically bilked out of their money by people who really aren't followers of Christ, but are false apostles, false followers. They're masquerading. They're really followers of the enemy who masquerades as an angel of light. But in the end, well, they will receive what their actions deserve. But in the interim, here, we need to recognize with open eyes what's going on so that we don't get pulled in, so that we don't suffer the same fate of Eve when she was pushed away from God's grace because she listened to the deceiver. He's sneaky. And he shows up and he looks good. Or she looks good. They tell us such a convincing lie. But if it's a gospel other than the one that's in the Word, if it's a spirit other than that of the Holy Spirit, if it is a Jesus other than the one revealed here in Scripture, reject that word. No matter how flashy it is, no matter how good it sounds, it's contrary to what you first received when you received the Holy Spirit. If it's contrary to the Jesus that was preached when you came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if it's contrary to the gospel that God loves you and is with you, if it's contrary to that, people, run away. Put it out. But don't stay in the same place and listen to it. This is Paul's word to the Corinthians. And it's his word to us here today. Those who come talking about another way, there isn't another way. There is only one way, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed the way, the truth, and the life. Father, might we trust in you. Lord, give us discernment so that when agents of the enemy come disguising themselves as agents of righteousness, that we would recognize the falsehood of it. Lord, may we not put the wisdom of man above that of you. Lord, may we not say, you, Lord, are in second place. May we say, you, Lord, are first. That you, Lord, are the font of truth. And that you say is that which we can trust. And might we stand on your word and believe on it and live it. And Lord, might those who masquerade as servants of righteousness have their masks removed. Might we see through. And might we, Lord, reject what they say and receive only you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.